Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Nars hopes you have enjoyed your stay in the menage. Now it is time for you to return to your natural habitat.
I know you're taking a hit losing these guys. We appreciate the positive attitude.
Not to worry. My real moneymakers are the Pyrethian swamp gobblers over there.
Moopsie.
Oh, the Moopsie is free!
Oh no, your cuddliest prisoner is loose. Whatever shall we do?
You don't understand. Everything here is incredibly dangerous.
Moopsie.
Can't be worse than the swamp gobblers.
Of course it's worse! They only gobble you. The Moopsie drinks your bones!
How does something drink bones? Holy f***!
Run! Run for your lives!
Moopsie.
You almost lunged across the table.
Okay, that is true.
You were trying to throttle Jesse.
But I just saw something in his eyelash.
Yeah. Was it one of those mites? Because there's those hundreds of mites that live in your eyelashes.
Yeah, I eat them. Eyelashes. I eat them.
They make all the crustiness in your eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
The crustiness mites.
I don't get that so much.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't always get the crusties, but, the mites are there.
We don't have to talk about this anymore.
You don't like talking about eyelash mites?
What about poop
particles?
It's
just more the crusty eyes I don't like talking about.
You want to talk about poop particles?
So you're fine with crusty eyes, but you're not... I mean,
no.
You're fine with the mites, you're not fine with the crusty eye talk.
Right.
Okay. So in lieu of that, I propose we start the podcast.
Okay, let's do it!
Yes, excellent. Yeah.
Chief O'Brien.
There's a lot to talk about tonight.
Chief O'Brien?
Because we got two episodes and some miscellanei.
Miscellanei.
So we'll get through the beginning part efficiently. We are the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's the podcast you were listening to.
It's Got
Star Trek.
I played a show with this band called the Miscellaneous Seeds.
Great. This is episode 205.
It's real.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And
yeah, that's true. I have that as well.
Due to the scheduling generosity of Paramount Plus and their parent networks and conglomerates that own them, they've opted to release not one, but two episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks Season 4 today. And in fact, episodes 1 and episodes 2 of that season.
One.
Of It's Got Star Trek. No, from Lower Decks.
Two. So yeah, we're just doing one episode.
No, we're doing both of those episodes.
I mean, it's just one episode of this show.
Oh, yeah. We're doing one episode of It's Got Star Trek. That will encompass...
We're talking about two episodes.
A discussion of two episodes. So it's kind of like when we do the Star Trek The Animated Series, because for those not yet in the know, first of all, you should be checking out those episodes of It's Got Star Trek, because they are generally some of the most fun ones, I think. But we usually will cover two episodes of Star Trek The Animated Series. And so that's what we're going to do today, but with Lower Decks, The Animated Series.
Sabotage.
Yes.
That's from the animated series.
Yes, it is from the animated series. Yeah. But it's also set elsewhere, including in one of these episodes, as I recall.
Sabotage! Sabotage.
Yes.
Sabotage.
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 Well done, sir.
Aww.
Well done. Yeah, so we should get started. Oh, but before that.
Sabotage.
We started.
Sabotage.
Before
sabotage.
That. Before that,
sabotage.
As it happens, we've had a busy and harried day. All of us have been
harried.
Our schedules have been torn asunder and remolded asunder yet again.
Oh.
Dan, in particular, has been burdened by his utility to the world. Unfortunately,
last minute work emergencies.
Some of us have more utility on this planet than others. Dan has a high degree of utility, which unfortunately sometimes means he has to do stuff.
People aren't always privy to the reasons that they're doing these, involved in these emergencies.
Without giving away too much information, just Dan's in a sort of Ender's Game situation.
Jobs suck.
If people who know Ender's Game, what happens at the end of Ender's Game, that's my guess as to what's happening with Dan. They're keeping him busy. But thankfully,
it's fine.
Thankfully, he is here at the podcast today. However, both Dan and I were planning to head over to the Star Trek Day animated.
I just
want to
say
business.
That my work is mostly not like this. This is anomalous, but it was stressful.
It's the problem with being a useful.
It's a good job. Useful it's human. Just, but this fucking thing happened, and that's just how life goes.
Sometimes. But I went with my son instead to the Star Trek.
For a good
and what was it called? The Star Trek.
Star Trek Day.
Anime. Yeah, well, Star Trek Day today, as it happens when we're recording on Friday,
today.
September 8th. But it's also Star Trek Day. So it's Star Trek Day, but for Star Trek Day, they were doing this whole Star Trek the Animated Series thing because it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek the Animated Series. And to celebrate Star Trek the Animated Series, among other things, they decided to hold a theater premiere of, well, not a premiere, I should say, but they played 4 episodes of Lower Decks in the theater.
But they didn't play the second episode of this season.
No, they played 3 episodes that Mike McMahon had selected, and then they played the first episode of season 4. But it was really cool to see in a
popcorn.
Theater. They gave us popcorn and cups and tchotchkes and stickers and all sorts of other fun stuff.
Was there Coca-Cola?
Yes, I had Coca-Cola in a Lower Decks souvenir cup that I'm keeping.
But you didn't have any Haribo gummy bears.
No, those I have here at home.
He didn't need
I purchased those.
Those
on my own account.
He didn't need those.
Because he had popcorn and Coca-Cola.
But
free concessions
they were waiting at home.
Free concessions are a big deal because those things, as we all
free
know,
free concessions are pretty tight.
At least in
Did
the U.S.,
have snow caps.
At least in the U.S., they're expensive.
Probably, I got
probably
some Reese's Pieces.
Snow caps is the shit.
Yeah. Well, we saw it at the East Street Cinema in Washington D.C.
Do you think England concessions are as like higher marked?
I've never been to the theater in England.
I have been to the theater in England, but it was when I was 16, and I have no recollection now of the prices of the concessions, nor if they had any concessions. It might have been just a trough full of beans out front.
That seems.
But they did have
like
assigned seating in commercials before they had them in the U.S.
They probably had beer.
Perhaps, or ale of some sort.
Ale.
It was fun. I had a good time going with my son. It was cool to see all sorts of theater just full of.
It was downtown somewhere. Right?
Awesome. Yeah, it was down at the East Street Cinema in Washington.
Just remember
D.
that
Street.
I didn't get to go. So when he's talking about his son, he's not talking about me.
I'm not talking about Dan. I do sometimes.
Both of us had work.
Interchange their names. Sometimes I refer to Dan by my son's name, and sometimes I refer to my son by Dan's name because they are both people I care very much for, and I just desperately want them to understand.
Understand that
please.
I care for you.
Please understand
that I care for do you. You want me to understand like the things, smart things you're saying, or that you care for me?
Just sort of basic things that are important to know as you get along in life.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think I'm pretty on point with that one.
You are pretty on point. Well, like I just said, you have a high degree of utility. Which is pulling your attention away. But long story short, I mainly mentioned that because. Dan did a heroic job in still getting to pull all the clips and do all the other stuff for tonight's show. It's going to be a banger. But if you just keep an eye out, it's cool that Paramount does this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's all sort of corporate-y. It was basically an ad for Star Trek, but that's cool. We like Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And so we got to see the Skin of Cat, very short trek that just came out today.
They called it a very
got to
short
see trip. Some Lower Decks on short. The big screen, and it was great. I mean, the episodes they selected that's were No Small it. Parts, Wage Douge, and Douge, Crisis Point Douge. 2, as well as today's episode Tuvix, or yesterday's, I should say. So it was really just a super fun time. And
to Ellipse,
I hope they do more of that stuff. It's a great. It's like sometimes it's difficult to get to the conventions and things like that. So having these little things happen is a great catalyst for bringing like-minded folks together to have a nice time in an awesome social location. And movie theaters are kind of an awesome place for that. Everyone was just having so much fun. Okay. That's enough of that. How about...
Let's do it!
Let's do it indeed. Let's now shift to discussing Tuvix.
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 To Ellipse.
When they rumors...
I was confused when they said to Ellipse the first time, because I was like, are you pronouncing the title
to
of...
Anna and Billups.
Yeah, yeah. At first, for the first few seconds I saw it, I was like, are they trying to pronounce like the title of the show, and they're pronouncing it all funny? Mm. And I was thinking, I was like, oh no, that's to Anna and Billups. It just took me a couple seconds, but it did take me a little time.
It's all right, dude. You've been busy.
Patrick wasn't there to like get me to understand was the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what,
you must know.
Season premieres are tricky. And
jokes are hard, Dan.
No.
I'm just fucking with you.
What I did want to briefly preface all that with is that when the title list came out for the fourth season a week or two ago, the title for at least the majority of the episodes came out, or at least were purported to come out. I think we can be confident that they're the correct ones, with the very first one being Tuvix, which is just a brilliant title. And the number of the other titles are just genius. But Tuvix, let's keep it focused on that for the moment. Tuvix is, I mean, it's the Fast and the Furious type thing, but it's a sequel to the Tuvix story, but it's also Tuvix. I mean, come on, that's pretty great.
There's other like goofy Voyager and stuff that like, it's all just like wacky stuff from Voyager.
Oh my God, we get to do something on Voyager!
Yeah, that was the most excited she's ever been about anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I was like, whoa. And then she was like, whoa.
Tuvix is also used in common slang. It's short for two victims, and there are two victims involved when you create one
that
creature.
That sounds
out of
like
two.
Cop talk.
That sounds like cop talk.
All right.
When you say Vic.
So audience.
Two Vicks. Oh, yeah. The Vic was over there.
Audience. Now, here's the fun part of the evening where I try to deduce from what I know of Dan whether the thing he just said, whether it's a real thing or whether it's some clever troll.
I don't know.
Because what Dan just said was that the term two Vicks was a slang, like a colloquial slang term to reference two victims.
Yes, and it takes two victims to create the one creature that is Tuvix.
Yeah, see, that's the part that makes me suspicious. I'm going to bet that this is not a colloquial phrase. It is not cop talk.
Cop talk.
As Jesse put it. I think this is a manifestation.
Manifestation?
Of Dan's mind.
Shiva Brown.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. That perhaps is as good as 100% yes to my mind.
Sweet.
Yes.
Yes, I was being silly. I was being fun.
But yes, there are two victims initially.
You called me out. You got me. I thought I might have been able to pull one over on you guys.
You're all talking like a 1940s. Like femme fatale. You got me. You called me out.
Now, do you think I'm being ironical when I say, I was just seeing if I could pull one over on you guys, or do you think I wasn't even trying to do that and I was actually being silly?
I never know.
I'm not going to play these games.
If you're being serious, if you're grifting us, I just don't know.
These are one of them games. There's no winning these types of games. Doesn't make them any less fun. Just means you're not going to win. It's like Monopoly.
Yeah. I usually try not to like do the thing where like I don't want to, I like try to win the competitive thing, because it really stresses me out. I get really stressed out when I get competitive.
It's like nice to do well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't all have to be like a one-upsmanship, right?
Right. And when I start,
you can all be rowing in the same direction.
And when I start going similar, when analogy. I start going Stroke. To that pa- that down Stroke. That path, I find I get really fucking like, if I get into it, I get really fucking pissed off when I lose. And so instead of, some people take that and become like, you know, Olympic athletes, yeah. I just like throw it away and I'm just like, I hate that feeling.
I think you maybe have the more well-adjusted viewpoint.
I was like, Dan, you're probably not going to become an Olympic athlete, so maybe you should just probably not. Just give up.
Just give up.
What would your event be?
That's our advice to all the young people.
Would you be a speed skater?
Our advice is, you know, luge? Just don't even worry about it.
Would you do luge?
It was not luge.
One man bobsled? That's not an event.
What about, isn't there one where you like put a roller skate on your elbows and knees and go down like an icy mountain or something?
I don't think so.
I think you're talking about Running Man.
I haven't seen the Olympics in a very long time. So, mm-hmm.
Well, I do that one.
Would you do like a Dan Cathlon?
Whoa. Where I just do everything that I do on a daily basis.
Everything that,
like,
you do.
How fast can you watch 4 hours of television?
It's like, can you do it in 24 hours or can you do it in like 18 hours?
I don't know. I think it takes me 24 hours to watch 24 hours of television.
Well, what about to watch like two and a half hours of Star Trek Star Trek Lower Decks?
I could watch several episodes at the same time. I could do parallel processing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go. It was It was I've had an interesting time this week because I watched both of these episodes, Two Vicks and I Have No Bones Yet I Must Flee, yesterday when they premiered. And then today I saw the first one, but I also saw three totally other episodes of Lower Decks. And then I came home and then as quickly as I could, I watched the second episode, the Bones one, just so it would be fresh in my memory because I've been watching so much fucking Lower Decks over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And it's all great. It's all wonderful.
That's cool that they like put the whole Talyn story like lead up there. They kind of connected them. They didn't just do random shit.
No, the episodes that they decided to show at the event, I thought were very appropriate to lead into this season. And it certainly worked on my son, who prior to this didn't have a particular interest in Star Trek generally, but seemed to enjoy these. And on the way home said he wanted to watch it from the beginning. Was it? There you go. That's
right on.
Well, one new customer right there.
New customer.
One new customer.
You got to grift a new customer.
They got to buy stuff. They show the commercials between the episodes. The TV show Spock zooms in on Spock and he's all like, dun, dun, dun.
Dun.
But the Star Trek version, not the normal one.
Mm-hmm.
The copyrighted Star Trek version.
That's copyrighted.
Yes, and then it goes to commercial.
Commercial.
I'm sorry. It's been a long day. It's been a very long day.
It's been stuck.
Two Vicks. I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was great. I thought it was a clever title. And I mentioned all that title nonsense before. You know, then I got distracted. But before I got distracted, I mentioned the title nonsense to be like, the title's brilliant. I was hoping the episode would live up to how brilliant the title was.
There were a lot of funny bits.
I think the episode... Whoa. I lived up to it and exceeded the brilliance of that. I like the idea of how
sorry,
do you
sorry about that.
How do you know it's quite all right? I'm not entirely sure what it was, but it's quite all right. I like the idea of a twist on the storyline because it's like, okay, how do you go back to the storyline? They did it. They accomplished it by saying, okay, what you have somebody who is the second iteration of this, and what's their plan, right? Two Vicks. Didn't work out for him.
No.
He's data point number one.
Mm-hmm.
And now to Phillips?
Well, it's funny Illips. You should ask. There was Tailups, there was Dr. Frigleyman, there was Chanda, so I didn't take the time to figure out who that was, and there was Shabarns.
Yeah.
And then there was, it looks like it's...
Like whale.
There was like Swale-Swalens.
Swale-Swalens.
I thought it was like, I was like...
Yeah, that was Stevens, right?
Right, I didn't know his first name was Steve. And, it's really funny.
Well, I know, isn't one of the whales like Mike? Isn't there like a Mike the Whale or something?
I kept thinking it was like Swale-Swalens, but I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
It was
but
something
swale,
like that.
It's Swale-Swalens is what it was. And then by the end, there was the Two Vicks meatball.
Meatball.
Yeah.
Meatball. So they all snap together and they
what was that sound?
I don't know. I don't
know. it's not quite a Transformers sound.
not quite a communicator sound.
But then they couldn't like use the cure because that was only programmed to work on specifically Tuvok and Neelix combo. Isn't that what they established in it? That Talyn couldn't separate them.
Or two people or something.
It was I know there was a line about it and I'll find it at some point, but we can move on if you want. I don't know.
We could also just leave you dangling.
Oh no.
While you type away. And try to fill the dead air, dead podcast air.
High council, I should be reinstated. No, that's a high. High.
You just keep saying the word high, Dan.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Hi, Dan.
So Boyma goes, the macrobots have locked us out, but we need to shut down main systems. We have to break Voyager. I got to break Voyager. Ooh, I have just the thing.
Yeah, that's different.
Neelix, I knew you would.
That's on the Voyager as opposed to on the Cerritos. You're looking for a line on the Cerritos, are you not?
Yeah, I think this. The method employed by the Voyager's EMH can only... Okay, this is what it was. The method employed by the Voyager's EMH can only mark one individual. So that's basically saying they can't use the doctor's medicine.
Yeah, but I think it's just the nuanced distinction is they could have used it at the ellipse stage, probably. It's just that it's not going to work beyond that. I think that's the idea.
Hmm.
Well, no, I mean, were they trying to do it on the Vulcan meatball? I don't think they were trying to...
They were trying to use that.
Not the Vulcan meatball, but...
the Vulcan. Although you've made me intrigued.
She made the meatball.
She was talking about the Tuvok meatball.
Yes.
And I don't, I think that happened afterwards.
Yeah. I just took that to mean if you have two people who are merged, it works, but the programming is not sophisticated enough to actually work on 30 people.
Okay. Oh, so it didn't. Okay. So you're right. That thing did happen after the Tuvix meatball or whatever they call it. Yes. So she wasn't able to use it on the meatball. I thought she wasn't able to do it before the meatball. I thought she couldn't do it on Tulips and all those other people. I misunderstood. She was trying to do it to the meatball, and so I had him because I was gonna say like. If they couldn't have done it on Tillips, that meant that it would only have worked on Neelix and Tuvok.
We've got all these sound clips. So Dan is primarily in charge of grabbing all these sound clips. All these great sound clips, and some of them become regular sound clips. You're like, ooh, that's a fun one. I liked it. I like the sound of that. Can we get sound clips from the podcast? I want a sound clip of you saying meatball.
Meatball.
You've said meatball like 1,000 times.
Wait. Meatball.
Meatball. Can we get a clean meatball?
Meatball. You see, you can't help it. Meatball. This is never going to work. You're just trying to get me to say meatball more many times.
I want to have a Vulcan.
Okay, meatball. So she couldn't do it on the meatball. I thought she couldn't do it on Tillips, but it turns out I was wrong. She was trying to do it on the meatball. That's why it was worked. If she could not do it on two Tillips, it would have meant that she could only, it only worked on Tuvix. And I was wrong. Meatball. Damn it.
Meatball.
Meatball.
<I'm> too funny.
Hamburger.
Yes. Okay. So
so the episode, we want to start, we're at the beginning.
Oh, no, shit. We haven't started yet.
We haven't started the beginning. What are you talking about? Not in any sort of sensible order.
Well, Talyn, we were talking about Talyn and watching the Lower Decks.
It's fun to have the official edition of Talyn now.
Yeah, and I like that. I like how her and Tendi are sort of like...
Makes sense.
Buds. They're like...
Good writing because the relationships are being defined in ways that make sense to the prior characterization.
I think not to
be too technical about it. People at home can't see that I've taken off my glasses and I'm holding them and sort of gesticulating around with my glasses as I'm making these
Professor Patrick
these very sophisticated points.
Tendi and Talyn are
also both their names start with T.
Both it's a
that's cute.
It's a funny match because of course they complement each other and
both their names start with T.
Because they complement each other and they both like, you know, and they both like have opposing personalities. But it's funny. I'll tell you why it's funny, because they both wanted to label those test tubes. And you'd think like, oh, well, one would want to do one and the other would be like, that's boring. But they both wanted to do it. It's because Tuvix. Because Tuvix was murdered.
Janeway straight up murdered Tuvix.
Murdered. No. Okay. You would think that one person would like to label the test tubes and the other person wouldn't because they have opposing personalities, but they both like to do it because Talyn is a boring Vulcan. She likes boring things, and Tendi is just overflowing with excitement and just can't stop herself. She doesn't She doesn't crave excitement. She just has excitement. So she gets excited over everything, and then and Talyn is just a logical, boring old Vulcan. That's why two opposing characters can like the same thing, and I thought that was funny. That was a good union moment.
Totally.
I 100% agree, and I thought it was a good example again of taking prior characterizations, maintaining them, showing character growth by putting characters together in a way that makes sense, and that's super cool.
Mm-hmm. She just murdered him.
Okay. I do think that
he begs her to live.
So that part is just all the Tuvix stuff is
Janeway didn't mess
to me. Like, look, it's good. It's a difficult episode because it's just a great episode. There's so much in it. There's the Easter eggs. There's the straight up, not Easter eggs, just the straight up Voyager stuff. All that stuff is great. Great acting and all that stuff. I loved all the references to Janeway murdering Tuvix, especially like the pad where it's just like deceased.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. they really throw it in your face.
And then Captain, you know, she's all like, she's like, well, we gotta hope that Tillips hasn't read this.
Like, Janeway straight up murdered Tuvix.
Like, what the fuck?
And so I was wondering
because they didn't shy away from it because this is, I mean, it's. Not that they would. Nobody would expect Lower Decks to shy away from these types of debates, but it's just fun. It's fun that they've gotten finally to the Tuvix one, since that's such a huge debate in the Star Trek fandom, and they have a little mini version of it here with Tendi and Talyn discussing the virtues of different options.
I was wondering how they were going to resolve it, because like Tendi was way against it, and in the end, they just did the same thing that Janeway did, which...
many morals or situations.
Well, it was a few layers of
situational ethics.
It was few layers of abstracted, but it was still the same idea. But I guess it makes sense, because what the hell are you going to do in that situation?
Especially when you're just all like, you're a giant kind of like, sort of a lumpy, what do you call it? It's a big round
meatball.
There you go.
Oh yeah, meatball.
Meatball.
It's one of those things that's all like, kill me. Like, was there an episode of, what was it? Was it like?
Well, it's from The Fly.
No. There was some show where they created some like horrible abomination, and it kept throwing up everywhere.
Rick and Morty,
was
probably.
That Rick and Morty?
Probably.
Okay, yeah, probably that.
But it also other things.
Mm-hmm. Other things. I just remember this puking, like, specifically.
Yeah, that's an old joke, because it goes back to I know The Fly.
Mm-hmm. So they just resolved it in the same basic way. Like you said, it was sort of taken back a few steps because it was just this sort of it was a ball of meat.
Well, I also like the one of the main differences in the resolution was, instead of sort of looking at genetic code, it was looking at personalities. And there's
there's
a way to think of that as being a sort of a more modern, more interesting take, that what makes the person is their personality. And, it's not their genetic code is what builds it up. Their personality is more important than their genes.
And it very explicitly showed once again how instead of both like labeling the test tubes, in this case they're complementary.
You're all about these test tubes.
Yeah, the test tubes show how they can be unioned, but this was complementary. Where they're their opposite sort of traits
unionized.
Sort of synergized, because Talin was good at like the genetic code, and Tendi was like the personalities, and so together they did the thing, because they worked together using their different set of skills. You know, sometimes people say
skill sets.
Are you talking about like a Taken situation?
Sometimes people
Taken situation.
Have you ever heard this phrase?
Liam Neeson.
Getting taken?
Have you ever heard this phrase before?
A particular set of skills.
Opposites attract.
Have you ever heard that before?
Where did you get that?
Yeah. It's true.
No.
Opposites attract.
I don't know what you're
did you read that in a like a Bazooka Joe bubblegum or something? Bazooka Joe bubblegum.
And Tendi
was it on a Snapple cap?
And Tendi and Talin are opposites that attract and complement and work together, which is why they attract.
My favorite thing that Talin did in this episode was when she went up to the replicator and ordered a glass of water,
room temperature. Yeah.
And then she's just all slurping on some water.
Are they austere?
And she's like,
ask me for two.
She's like, I'm here to hydrate.
Yeah.
Because she's like a hydro homie.
Oh, no. You think she's a secret hydro homie?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Is that a pejorative?
She's from a desert planet.
I don't think it's a pejorative, but like she didn't explicitly state
it. Yeah, but you said,
episode.
Oh, no. Do you think she's a hydro homie? You sort of reacted.
Well, the thing is sometimes I read about that and they get really down on certain things that don't involve water in the way they like it to involve water. But that's the way, I guess any kind of group's going to be like that. I got no problem with the hydro homies.
What about Star Trek fans? What do you think of Star Trek fans generally?
They're
speaking?
Just great.
Okay. I was just curious. I think that's a good answer, especially for the business that we're in.
Sweet.
Yes.
I don't want to piss off the hydro homies. You guys are cool in my book. Just let me drink my water how I want to drink water, and don't get mad at me for drinking soda.
Dan's going to be like walking on the sidewalk, and some car's going to pull up, and just fucking bunch of dudes are going to dump a bunch of bottles of water out on his head.
Oh, man.
Like, we heard what you said on the fucking podcast.
Drink some water, motherfucker.
Drink more water. Drink some more water.
Okay. Yes.
He begs her to live.
Yes. Again, yes. All of those things. Each and every reference to the death of Tuvix I thought was great, especially the clip you just played.
Janeway straight up murdered.
Oh, no, not
Tuvix.
That one. It was this one.
He begs her to live.
Or was it this one?
She just murdered him.
All of it. I love all of it.
She just murdered.
Right. Oh, shit. I was trying to do something fancy.
Okay.
But I didn't
well,
do
let's.
It.
I'm looking forward to this fancy business.
She just murdered him.
Oh, you can't do it that way.
Janeway
she
straight.
Just murdered her to live.
I was trying to press them all three at the same time, but it like did some funny things, so I have to do them in sequence.
Janeway
she just
straight.
Murdered her to live.
You're not okay. funny.
Oh, goddamn.
Was that wait for real?
No, I'm just playing.
No, it's cool.
You're pretty funny.
I just want you to be honest with
you're
me,
pretty
Jesse.
Funny.
I mean, I liked it. I wasn't sure. I'm not 100% sure what you were going for with that, but it was cool.
Okay, swalens.
Because it's like multiple
I
things.
I want a fish.
Yes, that was good.
This is such a stupid episode. It's always hard with comedies because it's like, it was funny. Yeah, I was like, remember that funny thing? I thought it was funny too.
I laughed.
Yeah.
But
what it was kind of out of nowhere. It was like somebody just like had that, like they just like woke up one morning with that in their head and they decided to write it to paper.
But part of the magic of Lower Decks, and I think really what helps make it work so well right from the beginning, but I think they've been getting better at it over time, is playing with that tension between an actually interesting sci-fi story with characters that you care about and who have specific characterizations.
Because you care about them.
They have specific characterizations that their behaviors all make sense from the perspective of the characters.
Characters.
Meatball from the characters.
Characters from the perspective characters of the characters.
From the characters and the characterization.
Mm-hmm. Meatball. Hamburger.
What I'm trying to say. Is that the Whaley thing, the Stephen Whaling thing?
I want a fish.
Look, that's just funny sort of by itself, but part of what makes it work is this is a good story. This is a Star Trek story, and everything is being treated with a straight face up to this point. I mean, I'm saying in this little sequence, there's a threat, and it's a legitimate threat, and you care about the characters involved, and like in Tuvix, you're like, oh, I've lost my two friend characters and all this stuff is going on, and then it's like, boom, here's something just silly and absurd. Yeah. And that is delicious.
I want a fish!
Excellent.
And
salad. Through the magic of editing, we're going to make that sound real good.
Great.
Yeah. All right, and how about we take a quick break, and when we return, we'll discuss a little bit more about Tuvix. And then we will move on to our discussion of...
Threevix.
I have no bones, yet I must flee.
I got bones, baby.
Oh, man.
We'll be right back. Okay. After some giggly times, we've returned from break. We had a giggly little break. Mm-hmm. But we're all back now. See, you needn't fret. We can conclude our discussion of Star Trek Lower Decks... Season 4, Episode 1.
When you're talking about Talin getting the water, I should have played this.
Hydrogen is the most common element in the universe.
That was another funny joke.
Yeah.
And because Tendi was all excited about getting hydrogen samples.
Yeah.
So Talin was like, fuck, man, like that's super common.
Yeah.
Okay, Voyager. We haven't talked a lot about the Voyager stuff specifically. There's so much fun stuff here.
Neelix cheese.
It's also funny, though, because water has hydrogen in it.
No, I get that. That was implied.
Come on, man.
I'm not on point tonight. I guess I must be tired.
No, you are.
I was supposed to have played it when you brought up the water.
Oh, I get you. This is a self-critique that you're bringing to the public.
Yeah.
Got it.
I know you're supposed to just pretend nobody noticed and move on, but that's how I differ. That's my hook, is I point out my flaws all the time when they pop into my head.
I sort of get that.
I share my insecurities with the world. That's my hook. Because everyone loves a really needy person. Emotionally needy. I did this. It's like, no, you are fine. No, I'm not. I'm not fine.
Okay. Rapidly turning into an after-school special.
How did the Andy Richter character get the Voyager? Wasn't that Andy Richter?
Was it Andy Richter?
I think it was.
You're talking about Twinkie Barbo?
The curator of the Voyager Museum.
I don't think, was that, I thought it was like,
it sounded like Andy Richter.
Sounded like Neelix to me.
It's definitely not.
I was wondering if it was the Neelix guy, but I think it was Andy Richter because I saw him in the credits.
Oh, you saw Andy Richter in the credits?
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Well, then you're probably right.
Well.
All right.
I don't want to toot my own horn.
Okay. Well, we'll just go with that. Yes. Yeah, so Andy
Richter. You can toot it for me.
The Andy Richter character, which, what was his name again, Dan?
Andy Richter.
No. Fuck you, man. Piece of shit.
Maybe it was Andy Richter's brother.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Dan. Fucking shit up, Dan.
Yeah, that goes on for way too long.
I want a fish.
It was like Twinkie Barbo, right?
Okay, you keep saying Twinkie Barbo, but
that doesn't
mean
anything.
Is that his name?
No, it's actually
IMDb is no help.
It's Beljo Tweakle.
Okay,
What are you talking about?
Okay,
it's Beljo Tweakle. I swear to you,
Dan. Your face says that you're telling the truth. But the context.
Oh no! Wait.
And the name is making me suspicious that his name is.
I think that sounds right.
Is his name Beljo?
It's Beljo. It's in fandom. Memory Alpha fandom.
Is it Beljo or Belgo?
It's Beljo. Beljo. Beljo.
Beljo. What was the last name? Garmin. Belgian
Tweakle.
Twink.
Twinkle.
No, not Twink. Not Twink.
I'm just
spindly.
Just saying.
But I don't see him in the IMDb's so far.
Well, anyway. So Belgium.
Beljo.
Twink?
Twinky Barbo.
Okay. All right. My understanding from the context is that he is a curator of museum action or whatever, and they were working on this, and he's just an official museum type person.
Yeah, but.
Working for the Federation.
So he was already working for the Federation?
Yeah, he implied he'd been hanging out there with his team of people.
So it was decommissioned for a bit, and so his team was working on it?
I guess so.
They weren't cleaning doing a very good job. They didn't clean out the Borg nano tubes.
Well, they missed at least one. Okay.
There was some Neelix cheese.
Let's go through in some sort of semi-organized fashion. I mean...
Is that really necessary?
No, not really. Let's just go through... in an unorganized way, the list of fun things go on here. You got the big old macro virus things floating around. At one point, one of them's got what looks to be like a clarinet or something.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if it was a clarinet.
That was the one that goes into the Borg thing.
Yeah, like a clarinet or a bike horn or something. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't find who did it.
Some sort of
IBM.
Reed IMDb. Instrument.
So that's good.
That's weird that it's not on IMDb. You'd think they'd put a famous person's name on IMDb for Beljo Tweakle.
It was Andy Richter. We know that already.
Yeah. Well, did you say famous person or did you say Andy Richter?
But no, I don't see. Well, he's famous enough. I think he's famous enough to make IMDb. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Everyone else, including Memory Alpha, says that Beljo Tweakle was voiced by Andy Richter.
Oh.
And then as an added benefit, it sounds like Andy Richter.
Well, if it was from Alpha or Memory Beta, I wouldn't believe you because that's not canon.
Yeah. Okay.
But Memory Alpha is, so I believe you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to get a cannon and blast you in the face.
That's so violent.
We're slowly making some progress here.
Sweet!
Okay, so we have...
Move along home.
Belgrade Tweakle is
Tweakle!
Yeah.
Beljo Tweakle.
That's what I said. Belgrade Tweakle
No,
is,
Beljo Tweakle. Okay, then fine. I'm going to say Twinky Barbo.
He's one of them sad-looking aliens.
I got no problem with you saying Twinky Barbo.
Twinky Barbo. Well,
You
were asking me earlier about if I was... You were like, come on, tell me for real what's his name.
When you said his name was... Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, I said his name was Twinky Barbo, and you were like, no, but what's really his name? And that's when I said Beljo Tweakle.
All right.
Treacle?
Okay.
He's got this ship.
I want a fish.
He's got this.
Oh man.
So this is one of them classic museum ship situations. We have mannequins wearing clothes from our favorite characters, mm-hmm, including mm-hmm, Tom mm-hmm. Paris. We see Neelix in his kitchen. We see
there's a Harry Kim.
They put some of Neelix's stew up there, and the person who's handling the stew makes it like a stinky face.
Yeah.
He's all like, "This is gross. Yeah. This is super stinky face." And then we've got the little salamander. They have animatronic salamanders.
Yeah.
To represent that time
that was
Janeway and Paris had salamander
and
babies.
The Borg takes those over, too.
Yes, and then they get taken over by the Borg.
Wait, was Chakotay technically a commander?
Yes, he was a provisional commander.
If he had become a salamander, he would have been called the Commander Salamander.
And that is a reference that is, I believe, fairly local, both geographically and temporally. To Georgetown in Washington, D.C. in the 80s and early 90s.
They've got to have it somewhere, something named that somewhere else.
I don't think they do.
Somebody listening is going to get the.
I was in Maine with my brothers, and we were talking about, like, you know, they should have a place called Cheese Louise. Wouldn't that be funny? Because we were talking about cheese and things that rhyme with cheese. And then, like, later that day, we were like, happened to look for food in a place in Maine that was on the way to the airport that we hadn't been to. And my brother was like, dude, one of my brothers was like, dude, they have a place called Cheese Louise.
Yeah.
Is he your main man?
I got two main men. Their name's Rob and Alex.
That's great, dude.
So I like that story. I like the story the first time you told it. And I think that's a really great story.
I don't
story.
Think I told it on this place before.
You didn't tell it on the podcast, so but in person you told it to us.
Okay. Well, you sound like you're being critical of me for telling you twice.
I'm not critical of the story, which is
you're
is
critical
a great
of the fact
story.
You're critical of the fact that I told it twice, but I didn't tell everyone.
No,
twice.
I'm not critical. No, that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is I'm just saying I like your story about the Cheese Louise place. It is
sweet.
It is neither evidence nor an argument. For why there wouldn't
was
be
there
Commander
like a
Salamander,
Lucia's Papooses?
Which is a copyrighted defunct chain.
I'm just saying
store.
It's like one of those things they rhyme, you know, something that like, you know, someone thought of that.
Yeah,
those two things.
I understand what you're saying.
The Commander Salamander probably got it because they heard it somewhere else.
Okay. But this is a few steps removed from what we've been talking about.
I think
about.
It's at minimum orthogonal.
Because
too.
I think Tom Paris, I can't remember what he was probably a lieutenant at the time that
yeah.
he wasn't a commander. Though.
He was
definitely
not
he was a lieutenant.
He was definitely not a commander. That's for sure. All right, good.
Yeah, I think he was just an O3.
So the Salamander bit
Jay straight up murdered two.
I like the nanite, but they were like it's like a. What was the adjective they used to describe the nanite?
Oh, you're talking about the Borg nanite? It was a macro nanite.
It was a macro nanite because it was the macro virus. It's just the idea of a macro nanite is funny.
Wait, when...
Because a nanite is by definition nanoscale.
Right. Yeah, it's small, but they're calling it like...
It's a macro nanite.
Like jumbo shrimp. That's another one.
Yes, that's a very good
example. Totally,
I don't remember the Borg nanites from before. Where was that from?
That's right for all Borg.
The Borg.
That's how Borg work. They get the little nanites. They squirt nanites into
the
robots.
Earlier, the Vulcan.
Oh, that's what they call the Borg juice when they squirt you.
The little
they call
robots.
Oh. Earlier, the Vulcan had mentioned that the ship smelled like Borg.
Yeah.
No, but how?
So
Rutherford
was still lingering.
Rutherford said they must have missed one. When did they have them in there?
Oh,
before?
I'm sure they missed. Well, oh, yeah. 7 of 9.
7 of 9 was all over.
And
that
there was
giant.
A couple of other Borg at the. Yeah. 7 of 9 stage.
Oh, it's just that was the first time in the episode they referenced Borg nanites. So he was just like, we must have missed one, implying that we knew that they cleaned them up beforehand.
Yeah, because they had.
I don't think they did. That guy did a very good job cleaning it.
Well, that was the whole reason they had the Borg regeneration things was for 7 of 9 and for some other people. And the last.
I don't know. Was there a cleaner
and,
guy that came in? We never saw it.
Okay,
you just never saw it.
It's implied.
I don't know that it is.
You would think that they would do that.
Yeah, that's
but
what
it
I'm
turns
saying.
Out they gave it to some bozo, and he just kept all the shit as an exhibit.
We have to
you
make
could
the,
argue that
we
because
have to
they,
come,
he didn't find that virus thing either.
We have to invent. We have to invent the headcanon because they don't tell us.
We're gonna blast you in the head with a cannon.
That's the second time he said that.
I know it's great. I'm gonna keep saying it.
All right,
wordplay.
It's a satisfactory
wordplay.
Final thoughts. We should,
you adorable idiot.
We should start wrapping things up about Tuvix. Any clever stuff? Any less than clever stuff?
Tonkel Domjot. He had
say what? Oh, yes, I got you.
Yeah, he had to add this episode to the Voyager story. He was talking about
that
the
was
end.
That was also.
And then I started spiraling. I'm like, well, does he then have to add the story of him?
Trinkly organ face.
Does he have to add the story of him adding the story to the museum? And then he has to add the story. Of that,
okay, now you're being that's crazy. what are you talking about, man?
What's it called?
You've been doing too much programming.
Gaslighting. Don't gaslight me.
I'm not gaslighting
you. Call me crazy.
Calling somebody crazy is not
that's
the definition of gaslighting.
Well, but making them think they're crazy when they're not.
But I'm not doing it for the specific purpose of controlling or manipulating you. I was concerned for your well-being because I think you've been doing too much programming because you've been very recursive this evening. You keep thinking in these recursive loops.
Maybe there could be something to that.
There's
part.
A lot of if then and else statements.
Forever.
A lot of go to 20 if we want to get into basic. You know, basic, good old basic, like all capital letter basic.
Do while true. That's an infinite loop.
That's a good one. That's a good one, unless you got something in the algorithm that changes that flag, right?
Yeah, if you don't, it's just do while true. And when you say do while false, do while will happen once, but a while won't even happen once.
Yeah.
You know what? Blah, 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 blah.
All right.
Perhaps.
How about you, Jesse? Any final thoughts on Tuvix?
Well, so it ends with like some kind of horrible thing blasting away those Klingons. Those were the Klingons from the Wej Duj episode.
That's right.
There's some of those Klingons are continuing to plot against their former ally, who's now the captain. but... But like some kind of thing comes and totally blasts them away.
I am.
Ugh, some of this stuff got in my mouth.
Oh, and everybody gets promoted except Rutherford.
I'm very intrigued by all this.
It's an interesting ending.
Yeah, the promotion stuff, let's talk about that in a second. But yeah. These bad guy, whoever this bad guy is at the end.
Oopsie doodle.
Clearly shaping up to be some sort of season-long arc. Looking forward to getting more details about that. So far, we just know that they are sort of superpowered,
some kind of
indestructible,
mysterious spaceship.
Mysterious business.
I like when the Klingon, she said,
Mark lucked his way into that captain's chair.
Because luck, she was saying he lucked his way in, but Mark luck sounds like some kind of Klingon.
It does.
I wonder if they did that on purpose.
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. The promotion stuff is interesting. We heard inklings ahead of the season that this was one of the changes that was going to happen. Everyone was going to get a little bit promoted because, you know, it makes sense. You kind of got to have some character growth. Otherwise, it's like, what's wrong with all these people?
Right.
Going through all these adventures and
like
not
going
to get
Simpson.
Promoted. And they play around with that in this and in the next episode a little bit. But here's where we get our first hints of, we're seeing again that Mariner's not going to be into this. Of course, Boimler's very happy. Tendi was sort of, it was unexpected in her case because she just didn't think she was, you know, going to be promoted. So
engineers can't get promoted for breaking stuff.
Well, real quick, they said dampeners, which is we now know that's correct. So there's no argument there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we know.
We know it's
now,
correct.
Well, we know it's because of Mike Okuda.
And there was a that's an order. I only included just because they said it, but it was a perfectly fine because it was funny and light. When Frigleyman said, "Bring me more scrumptious senior staff," that's an order. So it's like totally funny.
And that was good.
Yeah, it was good.
That is a good. That's an order.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You're right
because they were making fun of it. They're having fun with it.
She was totally
Tendi,
a bird.
Tendi says she loves Talin, which means, you know, they're good friends. Do you think she loves Rutherford?
No.
Or do you think she just loves everyone?
No,
she's super close to Rutherford.
She likes Rutherford, but it's unclear whether it's purely platonic friendship or
right,
romantic.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I think the hints there clearly that there could at least the potential for some romance, but
it's hard to know with Tendi like what she means when she loves something.
I think that's a good point
because she's just so generously wonderful person.
I liked when Dr. Miglimu was called on the radio and he got all excited and he was all like, I forget the exact quote, but he was like, "Don't do anything to help your life before I get there." Basically, you know? don't have any breakthroughs before. I can't remember. He said something much more clever. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big Paul F. Tompkins
fan.
Oh,
it said, "Don't do any self care until
there
I get there."
I said, "Don't do any self." It's just such a funny thing for somebody, you know, who's in a position of, you know, psychotherapist to say, like, "Wait until I get there."
He's a bridge officer too.
But yes, Paul F. Tompkins is the voice of Dr. Miglimu.
Yeah, then there's rules. The Chaotica. We didn't even talk about Chaotica, but that was fun.
We would be remiss if we didn't mention the...
That's what you think.
The very funny gag with... what's the name of the Irish,
please,
Irish fella?
I think of Michael everything Sullivan. At all times.
When Michael Sullivan is just sort of as if he's cleaning a bar, but he's like cleaning a console, and he's just like, I miss my wife.
He like gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is a joke on Janeway. Janeway's famous line, delete the wife. When she starts to like his hologram.
Right. And that was, we talked about that one in a very special It's Got Star Trek episode.
I can't remember which number that was, but that was Dan was out of town or something. And like Jesse and I did both Spirit Folk and Fairhaven.
Yes.
And we
became Spirit Folk ourselves.
We did because we got a bunch of Irish whiskey. To celebrate.
Shaka when the walls fell, Ensign.
That's about right.
And so I don't remember that episode very well, but I think it was a good one. So go check that out, Spirit Folk in Fairhaven.
You can That's just a classic.
Search back in our feed and enjoy
There's
that.
There's like fake pub noise in the background.
Oh, yeah.
It's very.
No, it's real
it's
pub
very
noise.
Ambient episode.
We traveled to Ireland.
We totally went there.
To Ireland. And
we
went
were
to
on location.
Okay.
Owen Zach, when he guided the Florkas to their roost.
Beast taking a shuttle.
Yes. I have that marked as beats.
Beast taking a shuttle. Beast taking a shuttle.
Beats. It's because she says beats.
Beats.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Okay.
You're right, actually, because I put a hyphen when it's a beat, but when I separate the words, I put underscores, and I put an underscore. It's because she said it's not that it's a beat, is that she says beat. Yeah. This is
Shaka when the walls fell.
That's a beat. That's a beat.
All right. So to the audience,
Shaka when the walls fell, and Shaka when the walls fell, and Shaka when the walls fell, and
the beginning of a new season of Star Trek. And so a lot of folks going to be tuning into the It's Got Star Trek podcast for the first time.
Oh.
And so Dan, just as this is just to explain some things, Dan will often find these phrases that have a sort of a musical quality to them. He pulls them out and he marks them as potential beats. And then he claims that people should do something with
them. Well, I claim that I should.
He claims that he should
do something. Oh, yeah, but you're right. So much really.
But then he doesn't do something.
Yeah, and I don't do something.
But in this case, this is funny. And I can assure you that it's funny, but this is funny because the quote had the word beats in it.
Yes.
And that's why he labeled it that way. It was not a musical beat. It was just the quote had the word in it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's very fascinating. Absolutely.
Good. Okay.
Oopsie doodle.
All right. Now, let's hear some more sounds, some new sounds from
Kronos.
See, he says Kronos, but it's pronounced Konos.
No, Kronos.
It's Kronos.
But it's spelled K-O-N-O-S. So where's the R sound?
It's a
Kronos.
It's
the opposite. It's the antithesis of a silent letter.
It's a soundly R.
Okay,
that's the technical term. All right.
It's maybe a fricative, that's part of how they
fricative vowel. Yeah, right. The fricative R. I have no bones. Yet I Must Flee, which I think is one of the longer titles in Star Trek history.
It is pretty long.
Or I think it maybe is the second longest. I think it's the longest title where all the letters are capital. Because it's not got any of them lowercase words.
I didn't even notice that.
You know some of them words, the lowercase?
Some words get lowercase.
But not here.
You shouldn't capitalize.
I have no bones, yet I must flee.
Okay.
Okay, indeed. Because now we have a whole new episode, a whole separate episode, separate from the one previously that we discussed.
Episode 2.
This is episode 2 of season 4. And there's all sorts of stuff going on in this. Most of it I forget because of the Moopsie character. Because of the
you see some Romulans.
Moopsie.
In almost exactly the same situation as the Klingons.
And Moopsie.
They get blasted by whatever that thing is.
Yeah, and they say sabotage. I didn't remember that until you just mentioned that because all I can think about
sabotage
is Moopsie.
Yeah,
Moopsie.
because it's really cute.
Well,
and then slurps the bones out of people.
It was. I actually do want to.
I'm a total pushover for this bullshit.
I'm ossified.
The Moopsie, the one thing I want to say about the Klingon, because Jesse brought it up, the Klingon,
just
the Romulans.
Just the one thing.
There's one thing.
Just the one.
Is they both did the thing where they showed the ship's broken part with the insignia, their insignia on it. And also
like collecting all the pieces.
And it was also funny that the Klingons were arguing over who's more honorable and the Romulans were arguing about who was less honorable.
Yes. That's a good observation.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So yeah. And even like the Romulan commander was all like pissed off. Like the Romulan guy was, the Romulan guy was pissed off. No, he was scared that the Romulan commander was going to think that he didn't want to kill him. He's like, if he finds out that I don't want to kill him, then that's honorable, which is dishonorable for. I'm doing the recursive thing again.
Yes, I observed this earlier, and I'm concerned for you. I think you need a.
So this is before their planet blows up.
No, but that's actually what they were doing though, is because the lieutenant guy was like, "I do want to kill you, sir," and he's like, "No, I'm not so sure."
When does Romulus like get messed up? Is that's like an 84 or something?
Yeah, it's 1984.
No, not 1984.
2084? 2384.
I can't remember the dates on that. Something like that.
It was like in Picard.
Picard.
Nars is ossified.
Because
this is like 80, 81 or something. Right?
Maybe it was 80. Was it 89?
Like no, Lower Decks is like earlier 80s.
It's 81 now, I think. Yeah, 2381,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
Boom.
Look out.
Yeah, the Moopsie. So even like the
Moopsie.
The Moopsie guy.
Moopsie.
When Moopsie was all moving around, like it was all roly poly around when it was trying to get into the swamp gobbler's cage. It was like trying to get
swamp gobbler.
It was trying to get the grate open, and the way it did so is by like rolling around adorably on it. And then there's another when it was stalking them, it had these cute high steps that like puppies do or something. And then when it's trying to get to them when they're through that metal door, it's all like bongoing off the thing, like flubber or something. And then when he was eating the bloody teeth, which are not bone.
I thought the same thing. I was mildly aggravated, but you can explain it away with a headcanon that even though colloquially the Moopsie is known as a bone slurper, actually they like all sorts of sort of calcified things. Actually. And in that case, okay, maybe teeth are close enough.
But when he was eating all
who knows, maybe they're a treat.
But when he was eating the bone, the Moopsie all closed their eyes and had like a cute kitty smile on their face.
How is teeth different than bone?
It's different than bone. Good bone, you got all sorts of others. You got your bone marrow.
Oh, I see.
You got your holes. Okay. You got your other bits.
But it's still a calcium carbonate type.
And I think if they're liking the corn man, whatever his name was.
Narge
the corn man.
He's corny. I think he was kind of like a banana with a flower on top.
Yeah, Jesse Narge thinks he looks like
ossified.
Some kind of white cactus.
Jesse thinks he looks like a banana or white cactus. I thought he looked like a corn man.
I thought he looked kind of corny. He looked kind of corny to me.
Did you think he looked corny, Dan?
I thought he looked corny.
You know what that means.
So, yeah.
You are welcome.
I can't hear you.
So yeah, what are we talking about now? We're talking about
I thought you were making some sort of complicated audio point.
I don't think I've ever fully made a point.
Shax and Ransom were doing those exercises, and it was like in TNG with Troy and Crusher.
Yes.
They were wearing the same kind of like leotard.
They were doing the exact same moves. They were doing the same moves, and they were talking about like feelings and concerns and stuff too, which was cool.
And then they were going to get Sundays afterwards.
Yeah, so, like Ransom was like, "It's a cheat day."
So this the whole argument that
cheat day.
The whole argument, the sort of sticky situation, Three's Company-esque kind of situation that Mariner and Ransom got themselves into. I had a little problem buying into that because random like Mariner
Ransom
Ransom not random. What did I say? Rarenum?
Like, that's something. So random.
I did that too when I was typing these. I was also accidentally spelling random. The S and the D are very close to each other. They're right next to each other.
I will not argue with you on that. You're talking, I assume, sir, about a QWERTY keyboard.
A QWERTY keyboard. Yeah. A Quirdicky board.
Yeah.
So Mariner walks in and Ransom and Shax are all doing their thing. And Ransom's like, "I've got her right where I want her. She thinks she knows the score, but trust me, she won't be my problem for long." I mean, it's difficult to interpret that statement other than like how it sounded. Which is like
they push the plot a little bit here.
Yeah, because
it's a little bit of plot pushing.
It wasn't like, oh, she didn't. I mean, technically she didn't get the whole context, but not even really, because she was there the whole time. I guess she just didn't get a prior conversation. But even then, why would he word it like all like menacingly like that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah,
because he's like a, you know, he's full of himself.
That was one of those things. Every season you have a certain a sack as a fan. You have a sack full of suspension of disbelief cards.
And I got a sack full of these.
Every now and then there's an episode you got to turn one in. I think you had to turn in a suspension of disbelief card on that one to get the plot going.
Right. So as
the miscommunication was like, really?
As he explained it later, he says, "All I meant is that you're not going to be my problem because I'm not going to take the bait with your insubordination because you've been promoted a dozen times. You're manipulating command officers, and then I'm going to be the first one who doesn't fall for it." So he's kind of doing the thing. Basically, it's saying, like, if you fuck up real hard, you're going to get promoted because the manager doesn't want to be known as the one that couldn't tame you. Yes. And then if they do, they get to live vicariously through you because you can be like, I'm the reason why they made it through. No one else could handle them, but I wielded the superpower, the Ark of the Covenant, or what's a thing that people can't wield because they're not strong enough? You know,
very heavy sword.
You know, isn't there in fiction? Isn't there some kind of weapon like that? Like only the
Excalibur.
But Excalibur is just too heavy, right? Isn't there one where if someone tries to wield it, they'll fuck themselves up? Maybe it's like a
lightsaber, like a monkey's paw.
Like a weapon that like if they just
monkey's
can't.
Paw.
I think I read a Star Wars book where Han Solo actually used a lightsaber to get inside of a. He used it actually in the movie to get inside a fucking Tauntaun.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but he's Han Solo. He's got skills.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, the point is that that's what his explanation is. He says, "You're not gonna be my problem because I'm not gonna take the bait." But he said, "Trust me, she won't be my problem for long." Meaning like what? Because he's not gonna. Because she'll
doesn't
get
work.
Because she'll get
it's
the
just
point.
Too ominous.
Maybe
sounding,
she'll get the point eventually, and
they
then
wanted
stop.
Us. They wanted us to as swiftly as possible get to the point where we are on Mariner's side, assuming that there's something shady going on with Ransom. Or not maybe not shady, but you know what I mean. Assholy. Mm-hmm. And I think that they used a shortcut.
Shortcut.
That's a little hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Hence
my previous analogy about the sack full of suspension of disbelief cars.
Is that like a jump to conclusions, Matt?
Well, I just wanted to be clear that I do not, it's a metaphor. I don't have such a sack.
Mm-hmm.
This is merely it's a term of art.
I got a sack of doorknobs at home. You want me to bring them out by sometime?
No, I'm in no need of doorknobs as a
space elevator.
But what I am in need of, I am in need of a very brief
orbital lift.
They brought up that whole thing. Space elevator.
That was good.
You remember that space was good. Space elevator, yeah. And
orbital lift.
There was a whole
I enjoyed that.
I can't remember who originally called it the space elevator and who called it the orbital lift in the other
Mariner
episode.
Mariner called it space elevator.
In the other episode.
Yeah, and he kept insisting on it being an orbital lift.
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember which episode. Maybe that was the one where he stabbed her in the foot with a battle blade.
Nope, different.
Okay. Which one was it?
Those are different seasons.
But do you remember which one it was?
Yes.
It was like the second episode of the first season.
Okay.
So we'll take a brief break, and when we get back, we will conclude our discussion.
Conclude.
Of I have many bones.
Many bones.
Many bones.
And many I bones. Have to pee. I'll be right back.
Aww.
I was like, I'll be right back. We'll all be right back. But especially
some
me.
Some of us might not be.
Be right back. All right. Hey, we're back. We're all good. We're all good.
Nobody had to pee.
Nobody had to go pee-pee or nothing.
I mean, everyone.
Even though he said, we'll pee right back.
Everyone claimed they knew the orbital.
We'll pee right back.
Everyone claimed they knew the orbital lift episode, but nobody told me, so I don't think they actually know, which is fine.
That's a recent episode.
But you don't know which one, but I'm asking which one is
it? The one with the orbital lift thing.
That's what I'm saying. I know that much information. I was asking for the name of the episode, and you all were like, yeah, I know it, but you don't.
It's like there's the planet with like the volcano and the baby.
I know what happens in the episode. I'm just trying to remember what the name of it, which season.
Oh, the name of the
forget it.
I don't know,
I'll just have to interpret things you say differently from now on.
It's just it's
when you say you know something, you don't know something.
Oh, you wanted to know if we knew the title. I think it's a little unfair because I
see what you did.
I mean, we're all Star Trek fans here, and I don't think Star Trek fans are generally known for being interested in the minutia.
But when someone says, "Do you know which one that is?" I wasn't like, "Do you remember that one?" I was like, "Do you know which one it is?"
Dan totally missed my joke. Anyway,
I did because I was too stuck in my own joke.
Don't worry, you'll listen. You'll hear it.
I was spiraling again, I was in my head like trying to like figure out what to believe anymore.
I like that song, the Don't Lose Your Head song.
I don't know that song.
Queen's Don't Lose Your Head song from the Highlander soundtrack.
Oh. Yeah.
Don't lose your head. Right. Don't lose your mind.
Whoopsie.
Don't lose your head.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. Menagerie, I look forward to watching this episode again on a freeze frame action in order to fully appreciate all the animals. In
animals.
Some critters in
in this menagerie, because I
it was even cute how the swamp gobblers shivered even though they were about
they
to
were
die.
Terrified.
They were terrified. Something was cute about that, yes. But then I also felt really bad.
The amount of emotion you could get for a swamp gobbler,
where
once it saw the moopsie, it kind of backed up. It was almost upsetting, actually.
And then topped off by like the fucking death of Narge, like that was kind of upsetting too.
It was very upsetting, actually.
Why wouldn't they have weapons in the fucking zoo?
Yeah,
precisely.
It is kind of silly.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
But I'm looking forward to seeing some of that animal action freeze frame, because I saw the lizard birds.
Oh yeah, it's one of those great opportunities where
snakes with horns.
It's one of those opportunities where they can place all sorts of things.
Yeah,
in there, like totally. Easter egg stuff or whatever, just cool shit.
Egg of eggs.
Like that episode of Star Trek, the animated series, when they went to that planet to like go, because they went to court, and then there was like a court of aliens, and I was like pointing out all the aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know that one, but I know that one. But yeah. Right. So when Mariner, not Ensign Gary, but when Mariner talks about like.
Was Ensign Gary the other guy?
Yeah, he was the red shirt guy.
Yeah.
I guess they're all red shirt people.
But he was the poop his pants guy.
Yeah, there was two references to pooping his pants.
He pooped his pants twice.
Yeah, well, he said, first he says, I need to replicate some new pants. And then later he was like, so much for these new pants.
Yeah, I know, right?
But,
did he pee in them or poop in them?
He probably
the
did
question.
Both.
He should have been an outpost scientist.
Probably did a number 3 or a 4 even. When Mariner called it a prison,
Dan's into that new math everyone's been talking about.
When Mariner calls Narge out for having a prison, Narge is like, a prison is a place for criminals. I've given these sweet creatures a safe home. Well, first of all, that's even worse in a way. Just like, you love these things, so you give them, well, I guess you give them a sweet home as he sees it. So maybe, well, there's a lot to unpack there, I guess. But then later on the episode, Mariner says, do you imprison everything you like? And Narge is like, of course. So he admits it's a prison. First, he denied it was a prison because she said, this is a prison. Yeah, and he was like, a prison is a place for criminals. Then she was like, do you imprison everything? And he says, of course.
Yeah, it's meaning, a joke.
But he just contradicted himself. I don't think that's part of the joke, that you would contradict yourself.
I think it's a joke.
Come on, Dan.
You think it's a joke?
Yeah, I think it's a joke. I think that's a joke.
No,
that's
I think part of it was a joke, but the part where he contradicted himself from earlier, I don't know if that was an intended joke.
I think it was intended as a joke.
What do you think,
Jesse?
It was
all a joke, I think, yes.
Well,
we voted.
I think it's lower
this is democracy. You get the fuck out of here.
I guess it's a joke.
I'm going to kick you to the curb, Glavis.
Get out of here. Leave your sounds behind.
I thought it was a partial joke. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
But I will accept the democracy.
Milana's
okay?
on it.
Milana's on it. I don't have that one ready.
Blickety split.
I got that one.
Chief O'Brien.
I did enjoy this plot line. I guess, you know, there's the A and B story here. Getting into Mariner's whole thing about not wanting to get promoted. And
Milana's on it.
Various reasons we've seen over time why she is reticent to get promoted. Similar to how the start of the plot is a little bit forced. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I 100% buy this whole thing. I think, you know, for a while I was kind of like, I don't know, this is not a rehash per se, but it's like putting Mariner into a position where she's freaked out about getting a promotion, mm-hmm. but the sort of facts on the ground are different than previously. In the previous season that she got a promotion, mm-hmm. I think it was season two.
Yeah, I think so.
And
I just said, yeah. I was like, sure. And then I thought, I was like, I don't actually know.
Oh, yeah, she got a full lieutenant.
She was like, yeah, for a while she was all rocking it, and then she got demoted because she made fun of the admiral saying censors.
Why would I do that?
But yes, that's the line where I think they kind of fix my worries with this thing. It's not fixing it. I think the writers are subtly both acknowledging and undercutting any issue with this being a bit of a rehash by having Mariner say, why would I do that? And when she says that, you can tell she's asking herself the question.
Moment of realization.
And even Ransom is like, I don't know. Man. But like, just, it doesn't matter. It's that point is irrelevant right now because like, I'm on to you. Mm-hmm. I've figured it out. And so that's just not going to work. So you got to figure out some other strategy or I guess implicitly the idea is that she should do some self-discovery and figure out exactly what is her issue now that her friends have been promoted, because one of her issues before was too much responsibility. She wasn't with her friends anymore, so she felt lonely and isolated. She didn't feel like hanging out with all the senior staff, etc. That's not the situation here.
Now, the reason she freaked out at Rutherford, not Rutherford, Ransom, Jesus, is because she thought he was manipulating her. But she didn't want the promotion to. Even at the end of last episode, right? But the reason she freaked out this episode was because she felt Ransom was manipulating her.
Where I buy this, and even though, again, we already commented that it's maybe the way he phrased it it doesn't quite work.
He called her a firebrand. Oh, you're talking about the phrasing of
the whole, like, you know,
the misunderstanding.
Yeah, the whole thing, the misunderstanding is a little forced, that bit. But it does work for her character that she's biased to assume that Ransom is going to fuck her over one way or the other. And it could be that what they're doing with this storyline is her new fear about being promoted is about A, deserving it, B, being taken seriously given her past, and is that all that stuff going to catch up with her? And her standard strategy, Mariner's standard strategy, is to undermine things before she becomes successful because she's worried about becoming successful and then being undermined. It's like,
yeah, you know, I thought I'd keep it cash today.
That goofy psychology that makes sense. I think most of us have gone through it at some point or another in our lives where it's like, instead of getting hurt, I'm just going to hurt myself.
This guy gets it.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't want to risk suffering pain in pursuit of this particular joy.
Right.
So I'm going to cut that joy out of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut the chance of the joy out of my life.
It's hard.
So I don't have to be sad about not getting that
it's
joy.
It's like, it's hard to break up with someone. So you instead just act like an asshole and make them break up with you. Right. That's like something that people have done from time to time. And
I mean, in that particular analogy, I would think of it more like if you're paranoid that somebody's going to break up with you. So you break up with them first.
Okay.
Because I was thinking, you don't want to go through the pain of breaking up with them, so
okay.
You break up with them.
I was
them.
Thinking more passive aggressive kind of sort of thing.
I think that works too.
I guess that's not what you're talking about. I don't do that, but what? I know people who have done that.
What's the name of the instrument? It's called a Kim?
A kalimba.
A kalimba. Jesse's playing a kalimba, and he does that when he's grown bored with the conversation.
Okay.
But I like it. It's nice.
Oopsie.
Nice, good atmosphere.
Levick.
We'll get to that B plot in a second because I thought that was really good. But anyway, I enjoyed all of this very thoroughly. I thought this storyline was great. The Moopsie stuff was just—it was so good that it pushed a lot of stuff out of my head. But the
Moopsie, Moopsie,
the Mariner—you know—it's like we're seeing more about this Mariner character. I'm glad they didn't have her
be
the one that released the Moopsie. I'm glad it turned out to be these
Moopsie,
these 1980s TNG. Outfit, your civilian outfit wearing people.
Oh, yeah.
Had some scheme about taking over the zoo.
Humans, we really are the worst.
It's very true. It's very true.
You know, the first time, like, I noticed that, because that's a common message, you know, in movies and TV shows and all that stuff, is, like, talking about, like, how humans are so terrible and always fucking, like, we're the worst threat to the planet Earth. And I remember the first time I realized that that was a theme was when I saw the movie Fern Gully, and I was like, you know what? They're always talking about humans, like, being like the greatest threat to everything. And it's not that I disagreed with it.
That was way before you.
Well, what?
No, Fern Gully. You're thinking of The Land Before Time.
I'm thinking.
Dan is correct. You're talking about Fern Gully that has Robin Williams as a fruit bat and has the sexy elf girl. Flying around, fairy girl.
Yeah, okay, right.
So, flying around,
it's not
bulldozer. Yeah.
So it's not that
scary bulldozer.
So it's not that I hadn't heard that message before or thought about it before. But that was the point where I realized, wow, they sure talk about humans sucking a lot in, like, you know, stories and things like that. And I didn't.
They
at the
do.
One hand, I was like, it's getting kind of old, always talking about it. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, there's
they
good reason. There is a good reason for it. So, you know, but that's when I saw the pattern. That in media.
Pattern.
Not the pattern in life, but the pattern in media.
I enjoyed that personal anecdote, Dan.
Oopsie.
All right. Let's talk about the B plot. The B plot.
I enjoyed that personal anecdote.
Yeah. I did. I mean, that sincerely.
I'm going to pat you on the head.
There's aspects of my personality.
You're such a sweet boy.
Make it very difficult to sound sincere, even when I'm being sincere.
I wonder if you're self-conscious about that.
I am sometimes self-conscious about
that. Okay, I don't mean to make you feel bad.
Oh, no. I mean, I think more about the situations where, like, I'll be very enthusiastic about something, and I think some people don't understand. Sometimes I identify a lot with Tendi, where... She'll get, you know, I've been in this situation where I get super excited about some nerdy little thing and people think I'm like joking about it.
No.
I'm like, no, I'm like super into this. This is super cool.
Sometimes when I get really into a discussion, I start getting like so heated that people think I'm like in the middle, like I'm getting pissed off and they get pissed off at me because they think we're in a fight. And like, I'm like, I didn't realize I started a fight. I was just really excited about this. Now, sometimes I do, but other times I'm.
Hell yeah, dude.
Damn. Yeah.
Can do, Hoss.
Fight.
Sometimes you gotta fight, dude.
But not fight physically. I mean,
Sometimes you gotta fight
sometimes
physically.
Like, you know, sometimes I get like pissy, but like other times I just get really into the conversation and I come off
sometimes
as like.
Sometimes you gotta put a foot up somebody's ass.
I come off as a dick sometimes.
But that's why you have a podcast.
You're better.
You're legally allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You're better than
everybody. Legally is not only allowed on a podcast, it's encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Nah, you know, I thought I'd keep it cash today.
This guy gets it.
B plot. Rutherford. What was it? Livick? Was the guy's name Livick?
This guy gets it.
Yeah, right. It was some kind of rival.
Livick!
Livick.
Livick! What I really enjoyed about this story
Livick!
Was the end bit where it was like
Rutherford.
He'd already turned down a few promotions.
Oh yeah.
I know, right?
That makes this whole story work because Rutherford is sort of like Tendi. He doesn't He doesn't usually get too bothered or stressed out about things like this, but in this particular case.
It was funny, like, when Rutherford was just casually like, yeah, I'll just get promoted today or whatever. And they were all
Boimler
like...
Boimler was looking like, I don't know.
Yeah, both Tendy and Boimler was just thinking like, man, he's being so naive right now. Like, I don't know if he quite gets it. But it's extra funny because, like, in the end, we're like, oh, shit, he can do that because he's done it several times in the past. Yes. So the joke's on you guys, you know, and the audience. Yeah, so they're all patronizing him, but like they're the total fools in the end.
I also thought that they had a very good message that all of us need to hear at the conclusion of that storyline.
I wonder if it's the same one I have.
All right, how about this? I'm sure it is. I'm sure you and I are on the same wavelength here. And if you play the thing that I think you're going
to
play.
Well, I don't have anything to play. I have something to read.
Oh, well, okay. Well,
yeah, sorry.
Never mind. Because I was going
It didn't make for a great quote. I mean, I guess.
Part of me was hoping you would play something totally different so that I could make a joke about
it. Okay. Absolutely. Oh, I see. Right.
But I will. How about this? Let me just verbalize what I'm talking about. When Tendy just goes and asks Billups for the promotion, and he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Here you go. Rutherford is like, oh, you mean I can just ask for things that I deserve?
Yeah, exactly.
And Billups is like, yeah, I guess so. It's like, yes.
Yeah.
Do that.
That was the exact same.
In real life.
Yeah. I didn't pick up on the opportunity to make a joke and like play a totally random sound effect, but I did pick the same one because I totally agree.
So you were thinking on the same wavelength.
I was thinking the exact same one as you. Because a lot of times people think like, oh, I did all this shit. I deserve all this shit. And it's like sometimes you get shafted, but also other times people just aren't aware of certain things. Not
does
everyone's
the term
aware
being
of
shafted. Does that mean being thrown down an elevator shaft? Is that what it's referring to?
I think it's
to?
Meaning getting like a spear shaft through your chest.
Oh. I was going to ask, is that the alternative is having some sort of foreign body?
I liked how the Klingons were like talking about spears being a dishonorable weapon. Yeah. I was like, you know what? They kind of are. In that
I know,
sense.
Like pointing from far away. That's why I like using them in Tears of the Kingdom, because they're fast and they can get those little lizard guys.
Fuck those lizard guys.
Yeah. The spears are a good Zelda weapon.
Good
advice. Ask for what you deserve.
Because sometimes people are like shitty and they just want to ignore you. Other times people just aren't aware of all the cool shit you did, or they didn't realize that you wanted something. Other times, oftentimes people are just like, well, they're not going to ask, so I'm not going to volunteer extra money because I got to run this company. But then you find out, oh, I can't do without them. Like, I was going to pay them all along. It's just I was waiting for them to ask and threaten to leave before I was like, no, we want to keep you. So here, stay with us, you know.
So,
it can be a dangerous game, but you should still do it.
By that,
the most dangerous game.
By that token, for the audience out there, both Star Trek, their corporate parents,
both
Paramount Plus and all the, what is it, Viacom,
CBS.
Whatever. CBS, yeah. That conglomerate of groups and the It's Got Star Trek podcast recommend that tomorrow, when you're listening to this podcast, maybe you're at work now. I'd still save it till tomorrow.
Why doesn't it come out Monday?
Tomorrow, walk into your boss's office and demand anywhere between a 500 and 1,000% raise.
Yes.
And if your boss does not give it to you, I mean, I'm giving you that flexibility because you should pick what you deserve. But
then you take off your gloves and slap him in the face.
I wouldn't advise that, but I would advise that you will quit on the spot if you're not immediately given your raise.
Yes.
Right.
If the next step is not your boss walking to HR.
Obviously,
or the equivalent.
Obviously, I'm talking about being reasonable and not making threats like, I'm going to leave this place. But often it makes people
You and I differ, Dan. Dan is not
I don't
willing
think
to stand
reason
up
comes
for the,
into it.
For the common man, the worker. I'm saying you got to go in there and tell your boss, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Give me the money.
You grab him
right now.
Bite his ear off.
Fuck you. Where's the form?
put him in a headlock and bite his ear off.
You're doing
say,
the Pacino
listen,
one. The best fuck you is in is not Pacino.
Fuck you.
It's in but it is in Scarface. It's the
Pacino.
It's what's his name when Pacino shoots the guy and he's all like, fuck you.
Just because you deserve something doesn't mean you'll get it. So you got to ask sometimes.
Sometimes you got to take it.
You
got to walk into that office. You take it. It's like, I want your job.
I generally speaking don't think it ever hurts just to ask, though.
I'm going
to
get you a job.
But if you're going to start threatening to leave, you might want to, you know, think about it. Maybe that's the right move, but maybe it's not.
Threaten to poop in all the toilets. Threaten to poop in all the upper deckers parts of the toilet.
Upper decker.
Moopsie.
Star Trek, Upper Decker. Upper Decks.
Damn it.
It's an old joke.
It's an old
can
joke.
Can do, Hoss.
It's like from 2-3 seasons ago.
Upper Decker.
Okay.
I don't know.
So yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to the Rutherford storyline, but it was a good one.
It was a good one.
With a good message.
No, but at the end when
about
when,
tearing down the corporate overlords.
When Livick went
Rutherford,
and then he went,
and also Tendi.
Yes, it was great. Now obviously they're constrained by time, but it was also great that this sort of introduced a whole set a new plot line in our brains of how all along Livick, and that's a classic trope in shows and stuff. Yes, it's like the person who you're threatened by is also threatened by you. But like it brought that whole story into your brain to play with your. You got to play with the story a little bit by yourself.
So, I think
because they sent you on a playground with
you
that
play
one.
With yourself.
I think this is relatable in a number of different work contexts, a variety of different industries. I think that people can relate to this idea of, first of all, there's somebody new. That's not the problem. The problem is when somebody new decides to become your rival for some reason. They've like picked you, or you, or who? Not maybe not you or somebody, but they pick somebody. And what's really interesting is how often when that happens, somebody comes in, they're all like, I'm gonna pick this person to be my rival, and it totally backfires on them because a lot of companies are like, no, this person's been here a while.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sort of a pain in the ass. They know all the passwords and stuff. It'll be a pain in the ass to get rid of them, so you're fired.
But I like how this trope worked because they just briefly referenced it instead of like playing it out the whole story like a lot of shows do. Like I said, that might have just been a time thing, but I liked it better this way. So
you shouldn't
go trying to one up, like, I mean, you should do the best you can, but you shouldn't obviously try to like be like, I'm better than this guy.
Like, fuck this guy.
Because you'll probably be disappointed.
Or it might turn out that person's popular.
Yeah, that's part of the reason though.
That's
like, because it's like, we like this guy.
Yeah, get out of here.
You just don't want a dick hanging around.
Get out of here.
It's like, you got to be really talented to be a dick and not, you know, not get asked to leave.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the whole, the Boimler stuff with the moving around to the different... rooms.
Stupid Bassard light.
It was a bit silly, but it was also very sitcom-y. Here again, they get around it a little bit by just calling out the absurdity of some of the situations. Like when he's like, why would they put a room between two holodecks? It's like, it's silly. It's the joke is funny. It's a good joke.
You ready to get disgusting?
We get to hear some hilarious and disturbing stuff from Ta'ana and Shax and their various hologram adventures and stuff. So it was good. The Bussard light thing was like, okay. The first thing I thought was like, why don't you push the button that makes the windows get dark?
Hologram. Holograms?
But in the end, they got to...
What you're asking? I'm sorry, I was distracted. You were asking why didn't he pull the blinds down from the start?
Well, not pull the blinds. Well, yes.
He didn't know they were there. That was the thing.
I know, and I sort of don't buy that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Boimler does know a lot of stuff about stuff. So
I'm like, why would you not know that the windows can have a shade?
Maybe Rutherford
seems like a pretty normal.
Maybe
thing
Rutherford had just installed them because he was fiddling with some electronics.
Why are you defending this nonsense, Dan?
I just thought it was craziness. I just thought visually and auditorially it was very what's it? I don't know. They painted a canvas through sound and vision.
Oh,
and sight in that whole scene. Okay. Where it's just like
I agree with
like,
all that.
It's like I felt like I was like, oh my god, horrible.
In terms of the structure, it was good. It was funny. It was entertaining.
Why would they have something next to the
sound? Like, look, when we were talking about the last episode, part of what made the last episode so brilliant, but rise above just a good episode and made it brilliant, is because people stuck to their characterizations.
But
I think this is an example of we're being asked to think Boimler is dumber than he should be.
That's
about
the
some
joke,
of the
Patrick.
No.
That's the joke, Patrick. Like you said to me earlier, that's the joke.
No, but earlier, that made sense.
Wait, that's not how you win an argument.
It's how I'm going to win
what
this
you're
argument.
Saying doesn't make any sense.
It's exactly how I'm going to win this goddamn argument.
I'm so mad.
I think, and this is nothing new. This happens frequently throughout Star Trek, and in some series, we get, like, it happens a lot in Voyager, honestly, where they shift the characterization to meet the story
versus
crafting a story that is off the characterization. And I think what happened here is you had somebody imagine this scenario with Boimler being blinded by the nacelle lights and it being a play on the getting promoted yet ending up in a worse situation gag.
Right.
And they fell in love with that idea and they fell in love with the way they envisioned this because it is funny. It's just that it kind of doesn't work for me for for Boimler.
I could sympathize, man, with at least, speaking of like real life scenarios, just this, when you go to somewhere and you're like, didn't anyone quality control this thing? Like, did anybody check this before? Like when you buy products, when one buys products, like electronics or something, and one gets that product, it doesn't work, they send it back. The one they get back is like somehow like just as bad or worse, and they send it back, and it's like that whole cycle, man. I know it's not it's not a deep commentary on life, but like
is this in reference to the room assignment?
It makes you want to go
the room assignment.
So you're saying office and start shooting.
Why would they assign him to that room in the first place?
No, what I'm saying is just like when sometimes if I order something or buy something and I get it and it sucks and I send it back and I get a replacement and that one sucks too.
Yep.
And it's like you play this. I just felt raw sympathy for the fact that he got a room. It was shitty. They gave him another room. That was shitty. And they gave him a third room and it was just the first room. And then you makes one question. Do they quality control these rooms? Just like when I get a TV this is like a really stupid thing. I'm not actually like, this isn't ruining my life, but I just bring up TV because that's a common thing. Screens, they're worse problems in life. I understand.
Black mirrors, you might say.
But like, let's say you get like a TV and then you send it back because the screen's fucked up, and then you get another TV and that one's fucked up in a different way, mm-hmm. and then you send it back, mm-hmm. and then you get another one and then that's fucked up in the original way, and you go, didn't anyone quality control these things? That's just how I felt when I watched him like get those rooms. It hit me personally on a personal level.
You've made the identical argument using the identical example couple times in a row.
Because you were like, what? I don't understand. That's why I did it. Because like
I totally understand and I fully agree with you and fully support you.
No, if we go back and play the tape, you'll see that you were telling me that I was like wrong or like you weren't understanding what I was saying or something.
I honestly don't think I said a word.
That's madness.
That's what we gotta play the tape back then because like you responded in a way.
All right, cut. We gotta play the tape.
You responded in a way that said like, huh? What are you? Because you were like talking like, what do you mean they quality controlled the are you talking about the rooms? And I was like, yes, I'm talking about the rooms. Then I explained it again because you didn't fully get it the first time.
I think it's apropos that this episode is about miscommunication and misunderstanding is probably what we have going on here. But yeah, so I think that that's
the, I'm communicating just fine.
Yes, you. I yes.
Oh god.
Another. Okay.
Damn it.
Any final points about this episode? Overall, I thought very good one. A little suspension of disbelief here and there. A couple of mischaracterizations.
I liked the
things.
First one better, but this one was still had funny bits.
It was good.
Yeah. Let's see. Ensign Gary, he called out the sexual tension between Mariner and Ransom. If you could say there is some, which sometimes it does seem like there is some.
Again, here, this is where these are not bad writers. These are brilliant writers. And one of the examples of their brilliance is when he's like, I'm not getting 100% accurate read on what your guy's situation is. He's like, I'm not 100% sure what it is. I just know I don't want to be involved.
Mm-hmm. He was kind of the voice of reason, like in that whole menagerie scenario. He was just like, you know, he's like, if you two hadn't been bickering, we wouldn't be falling into a planet. Of course, though, aren't we always doing that? We're only always kind of falling into a planet.
That's how gravity works.
Douglas Adams thing about the way you fly is by throwing yourself at the earth and miss.
Or the ground, technically. Or the ground. It's not necessarily the earth.
Yes, the ground. Yeah. And it might not be a planet, it might be an asteroid, but it's more likely, in our case, going to be a fucking planet.
I think, yeah.
And you generally, and I guess technically gravity, everything's sort of falling into each other, but you don't talk about
You think we're going to see more of Ensign Gary?
You don't talk about falling into like flies or kitty cats and stuff, unless you trip over a cat and fall into it, but that's not due to like... Okay, yes, I hope so. I hope we see Gary some more.
I think he's an interesting voice.
And I hope we see Vivek some more.
Yes.
Livick.
What was it you said earlier that two Vicks is colloquial for two victims?
Yeah, that's right. And there are two victims because it takes two victims to create one abomination. Oh, wait a second. Two Vicks is an abomination. It's only when you combine four of them, then it's an abomination. Like, this is a very slippery slope when you start calling mixtures...
Situational ethics.
Like, when you say a meatball is abomination, but Tuvix is Tuvix...
What?
Is Tuvix an abomination? Tell me, Jesse.
What's an abomination?
A meatball.
Meatball.
Okay.
Damn it.
All right. Well, this podcast has not been an abomination.
Oh, they did it. That
hasn't.
They did two That's in Orders, by the way. They did. He says when Ransom was all like telling Mariner to punch him. He's like, wait, that's it. Mariner, punch me in the face. That's an order, Lieutenant.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then Tendi was like, we're going to spend tons of time hanging out and talking about science and telling
she
jokes.
Did That's an Order
too, to Rutherford. He's like, you know, do all the things
that
we
was
used
cute.
To do. And he said, that's an order. And that was wonderful.
I really enjoyed Tendi.
We stabilized the station orbit.
Giving her first
Would
order.
Did you say gummy?
Yeah, she gave her first order for Rutherford to like be her friend.
Yeah. And then he was promptly promoted, so.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know.
And she can't order
seven Pico Cochrans.
What do you think Ransom was saying here?
We stabilized the station's orbit.
We stabilized the station's orbit.
Stations. I couldn't figure out that one word, stations. And this one's pretty easy.
I guess feeling really odd, the most dangerous game.
Humans really are the most dangerous.
I
game.
Thought you were going to play the station sound. Oh.
No.
You keep saying station.
I honestly didn't know. If I knew it said station, that would have been a great
issue because you didn't know he said station.
I didn't. In the first one, I didn't know he said
station.
That would have been hilarious, though, if I was like, I'll pretend I don't know what station. See, there's another missed joke. I'm so stupid.
For new, younger, or uncultured audience members. That we're making a bleak reference to Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh,
which if you have not seen, you should see. If you have seen it, you would, of course, remember what station refers to because it's something you will not forget.
Mm-hmm. If you don't remember, then that's on you.
So, yeah, I guess just Rutherford, he decreased the vibration of the warp manifold by a factor of 0.05 and Vivek did it in 0.06.
Livick.
He increased the output of the Tucker tubes by 7 Pico Cochrans.
7 Pico Cochrans.
So he made the tube beam stronger, whereas Livick added a third tube. That's pretty fucked up. And then
they named them Billups tubes.
And then Rutherford was trying to find a way to diffuse heat conduction by a few nanojoules, and Livick beat him to the punch. Rutherford sped up the replicators by 9 whole femtoseconds.
Wow.
Which I looked up femtosecond, and it
it's
and
a
it,
real thing.
It is, yeah. It's a it's 1 quadrillionth, 1 million billionth rather of a second.
Okay.
According to Google.
That's pretty
according
good.
To not Google, but Wikipedia. I shouldn't say according
you
to Google.
You should be asking the AI exclusively at this stage. Mm-hmm. Everything is AI now. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. How about any last thoughts? Otherwise, we should close things down.
I think that's it.
Send things off. Send our audience off to dreamy land.
Blickety split.
Or lunchtime land. Or take the stuff out the dryer land.
I don't know.
Or riding the bike through the park land while avoiding pine cones. Avoiding driving over pine cones.
Go
with
outside
the bike.
And get some fresh fucking air.
Get some wind. Get some air. Go. Listen to some music instead of a podcast for once.
No, you know, I thought I'd keep it cash today.
Sing a song, dance.
Well,
no.
This has been the beginning of our
no.
weekly coverage of Star Trek Lower Decks with 3 very confused and tired podcast hosts. Yes. In the meantime,
probably.
Between now and next week, we'll get some rest and we'll be discussing just the one episode. One episode, which I know we had the list of things, but I forget what it is. But it'll be a good one, no doubt.
We'll figure it out.
Good Lower Decks. In the meantime, you definitely can check us out on social media everywhere. At It's Got Star Trek. You can get us on YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff. You can go to our website at www.itsgotstartrek.com. And I keep forgetting, but you know, after we did recordings, we put up our little recording thing for the 200th episode special. It's still up there. If you want to send in a recording, we'll play it on the air. Talk about it. Fill time. It'll be great.
Has that ever stopped you before?
No, it hasn't. And you can go to www.itsgotstartrek.com and record up to 90 seconds of commentary or questions or what have you. And we'd very much enjoy that. Finally,
so,
you can send us.
You should do that. And that's an order.
That's confusing given your opinion on the use of that's an order is. It's confusing as to what message you're sending to the audience.
That's the joke.
Okay. Right.
That's the joke.
I get it.
Can you have another one of me just going, that's the joke?
Yeah, it's like your new catchphrase, that in Meatball.
Meatball. Right. That's the joke.
We'll talk to everybody. Everybody in the whole fucking world. We'll talk to you all again next week. Goodbye.
This is Shabarns and Swale Swalens. He's a combination of Steve Stevens and Matt the Whale.
I want a fish.
He's not my best work.